24th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Since you all are back here, I'm going to come to you. Since you are not coming to me. And that is going to be my symbolism for Easter, right? Jesus appears to the disciples. And, this is kind of like the first Easter. There was only 11 of them at that first Easter, and he appeared to those 11 guys. Well, there were some women, too. I mean, so there was more than 11, but there was angels. We got angels over here singing. So this is just like the first one. So what I want to say about Easter today has to do with the story of Jesus in general, because we use stories, it seems to me, we use stories to help us understand the nature of what life is like in the world. We use stories to interpret life and our experience in the world, and we use stories to help us cope sometimes with realities that we don't understand, and to try to understand them better. For example, take television. Television is, aside from the news, of course, television is all about stories. And there is one series that Kirsten and I used to watch. We've seen them all now. But it was a story about a family of New York City police officers. The father was the police commissioner. Two of his sons were police officers. Daughter was a prosecutor. Anyway, they were a New York City Irish family, and they always had Sunday dinner together. And in a lot of ways, this particular series, which I think went something like 8 seasons or something, it was called Blue Bloods. Many of the plots tried to be very realistic about what police have to deal with. They had plots from A to Z to try and help people understand what kinds of situations the police have to deal with on a regular basis. So it tried to be realistic. And yet at the same time, you always knew that at the end of a Blue Bloods episode, everything would turn out just fine. The bad guys would go to jail. The good would prevail. And the family would have its Sunday dinner and everybody would be happy again. So it was always a happy ending. So it was a story that was intended to try to deal with the negative aspects of life without at the same time suggesting that the negative somehow is more pervasive in life than the positive. That somehow or another, in the end, we have hope that the good is going to win out in the end. And those are the kind of stories that most people like. Most people don't like stories where the bad guy wins, right? Or where the evil wins out. But if you're dealing with, for example, a guy like Shakespeare, his plays can be divided up into two different kinds. There are what is called comedies. These are not meant to, that's not meant to suggest that these are plays that are funny. It's not like he's trying to be humorous in these plays. But then there are also tragedies. All right, so in Shakespeare's comedies, always in the end, the conflicts, the pain, the suffering, the bad things that happen, the relationships that are torn apart, in the end, everything gets put back together again. And order prevails. And good wins out in the comedies. Those tended to be his earlier plays. But at some point in his life, Shakespeare began to realize that life doesn't always work that way. And he started writing tragedies. Now, in Shakespeare's tragedies, there's always the main character has some kind of serious flaw. Whether you're talking about Hamlet or Macbeth or King Lear or Othello, they all have a serious flaw. And because of this serious flaw, they make some really bad choices, and that results in a lot of suffering, a lot of pain, and in the end, a lot of people end up dead. When you watch Shakespeare's tragedies, it's a very dark sort of interpretation of life, because what he is doing there is trying to engage in a little, what I would call, unblemished honesty about life as it really is. He's not engaging in any form of denial. I remember the first time I got a call from my dad's physician telling me that my dad had lung cancer, my first response was, that can't be true. Not true. There's been a mistake. Check your tests again. But it wasn't a mistake. He had lung cancer, and he wasn't going to survive it. My reaction was the way we oftentimes react when something happens that is just very difficult for us to absorb. The first reaction is an attempt to deny that it's true. And that's perfectly normal. Sometimes it's so difficult to handle an accidental something or things can happen that hit us over the head really hard. And it takes time to absorb what it means, because our life is going to be completely different from that time forward. So, I think at one point in his life, Shakespeare began to realize that things don't always turn out for the better, right? So, the question in my mind then is the story of Jesus Christ, is it a comedy in the sense that everything turns out just fine in the end? Or is it a tragedy in the sense that it's a story that incorporates the tragic element of life, the negative side of life, that there are going to be times when we lose loved ones, that there are going to be times when perhaps we become deathly ill, that there are going to be times when terrible things happen, like we'll lose a job, or whatever it might be, that's just very painful to deal with, and nothing can sugarcoat it. So what kind of story is this in the end? How are we going to categorize this story? Well, here's the way I see it. I don't think it can be categorized as either a comedy or a tragedy. It's neither one nor the other. Because the story of Jesus Christ really incorporates something that no other story can possibly incorporate. For example, if you look at the life of Jesus, and let's just pick out a few things in general, okay? With respect to dealing with the tragic side of life, He did that constantly. When he went from village to village, the people he went to were the people who had lost hope for whatever reason. The blind, the sick, the lame, those for whom there was no future. Those are the people he went to. They had no reason to hope for anything. That's tragic. Or they were people who, because of some serious mistakes in their lives, were shunned, marginalized, and excluded from the community. And they were hated, and nobody wanted anything to do with them. These are the people he went to. Jesus never ran away from the negative side of human nature and human life. He confronted it again and again and again. Well, at one point, John the Baptist sends some emissaries to Jesus, and he says, "Are you the guy we should be waiting for? Are you the Messiah, or should we be looking for somebody else?" And Jesus sends his disciples back, and he says, "Tell John this. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the poor receive good news, and the brokenhearted are healed." The other thing Jesus does that sometimes Christians overlook, because we have a tendency as Christians to think about our relationship with God in individual terms. It's like it's me and God, right? Our relationship with God is kind of private. It doesn't have anything to do with the larger community. It's religion is a private matter. It's between God and myself. But not for Jesus Christ. For gosh sakes, Jesus confronted the structures of oppression in his society over and over and over again, calling the rich who got rich on the backs of the poor, "Woe to you who are rich! Woe to you who laugh now, because you won't be laughing! Woe to you who are full now, because you won't be full in the future! Blessed are you who are poor! Blessed are you who are weeping now! Blessed are you who mourn now! Blessed are you when people persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you." Jesus confronted the structures of injustice and violence in his society again and again and again, confronted them and condemned those people who were responsible for the injustice. It was not just me and God. It was there was a sense in which when a person comes into a relationship with God, you're in a position now where you don't just confront your own individual personal morality, although you do have to confront that first. That's where it starts. It always starts with, okay, what is it in me that I need to look at? What do I need to confess? You know, let's do that before we start condemning everybody else, right? Pull the log out of your own eye before you see the splinters in your brother's eye. So it starts there, but it doesn't end there. Christians are also called to act ethically in the social and political and economic realm as well, and to call evil evil when they see it. So Jesus confronts the tragic negative side of human life again and again and again and in all its forms. And yet at the same time, there is never the sense in the story of Jesus Christ that the darkness, the forces of evil, people who are consumed by what people at that time thought were evil spirits, that they had no control over themselves. There's never the sense that in the end that negative, dark side of life has the upper hand. It doesn't. Because through The life story of Jesus Christ, what we have is the story of the Son of God becoming human just like us, taking on the human condition, needing to deal with the human condition as it is, both its comedic and its tragic element, but in such a way that we have now someone who's got the power to deal with it in a way that none of us can. And so Jesus is the one through whom this negative, tragic side of life can be dealt with, honestly acknowledged, without losing hope, falling into despair, or thinking that in the end, it's all going to end like Hamlet ended, where everybody's dead and that's the end of the story. And Easter, of course, is the final victory, right? God in Jesus Christ confronts not just disease, not just the hopelessness that comes from becoming spiritually in a dark place, whatever it might be. In the end, God gives people the strength to rise above that, not through their own strength, mind you, through faith in Him, through His presence. It's God's presence that enables us to rise above the tragedies of life, not our own strength. And in the end, even death itself does not win. Jesus walks right out of that tomb, fully alive, never to die again, with the promise that those who follow Him will follow Him not only through dealing with the tragic and dark side of life, but will follow Him in such a way that we do so with hope, never consumed by despair, that we do so in strength, that we're able to rise above the spiritual darkness, and that we're able to confront even death itself without losing hope, because there's always the promise of life. Now, just to close this out, Jesus told His disciples before He was going to be crucified, He said, "Where I'm going, you cannot come." But He said, "I will not leave you orphaned. I'm going to send you an advocate. We call it the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit comes, and through faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is God's power in our hearts and in our minds, giving us the ability to find strength, hope, and new life, no matter how much we are hit over the head or beaten down or fall over or deal with something that is so difficult that we realize we can't handle it on our own. The Holy Spirit is present in us to give us that new strength and that new life, and that Holy Spirit is the product of Jesus having defeated even death itself. So as Paul says, neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our sermon hymn is number 6.